It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, a podcast on the Prince George Cougars. And we bring in the head coach and the general manager, Mark Lamb. You know, Mark, the last time we had you on the podcast, it was at the very beginning of the season. Now we've seen 10 games, a 7-3 record, 55 goals for, 30 against, a power play of 40%, a PK of just over 80%. If I was to have told you at the start of the season, those would be the numbers after 10 games, your reaction would be what?
Well, those numbers are pretty overwhelming, especially the power play numbers, the penalty killing and stuff. You know, that's something that is very respectable, but the power play number is something that is pretty high.
Yeah, and obviously you're not going to be able to keep up that pace, but last season you did have the second best power play in the league, and I believe it was around 27-28%. If you can finish anywhere close to 30%, that's a successful power play.
Oh yeah, that's a real successful power play. If you can, you know, that percentage, if you can get around 30%, it's very high. But you know, we have a lot of good, you know, capable players that can play the power play. I think we have two power plays that can be one of the top, you know, power plays in the league.
The big improvement, though, has been the penalty kill. And really, since you've been involved with the team, the penalty kill has been in the bottom half of the WHL for a variety of reasons, not to mention any particular reasons, but those have been the numbers. But this year, there has been significant improvement. I know the last game out against West Kelowna, things didn't go as, or against Kelowna, didn't go as well as you would like. However, for the most part, over the 10 games, the penalty kill has been very, very good in the top third of the league, and you've scored 7 shorthanded goals. Now, obviously, Jim Playfair has something to do with that, but overall, why the big improvement in the penalty kill?
Well, I think we've got some different players, and obviously Jim has a lot to do with it. You know, he's been around many years. He's ran many penalty kills. We've changed a few things on it, some details and some structure things that that we wanted to do all along anyways. But the biggest thing is we got to, you know, the emergence of, you know, Parisak and Becker and, you know, putting them in the penalty kill and then adding some other guys in there. That has a lot to do with it also.
Right. What have you been most satisfied with, and what have you been most disappointed with through the first 10 games?
Well, you know, you're satisfied with our record. We're satisfied with, you know, how we played. You know, obviously, the offensive part of the game is unreal right now. So, you know, you're always under construction. You know, you're always trying to get better. You know, it's our defensive play, our goals against. We'd like to get better.
You also have the top three scorers in the WHL, and you have 6 or 7 of the top 15 or top 20. Now, I'm not sure, obviously, that can continue, but what do you attribute averaging 5.5 goals per game?
Well, a lot has to do with our players, that's for sure. We got a lot of skill on our team. You know, the first 10 games of the season, we played a lot of games really early and other teams. And we played, you know, with guys not back from NHL camps, and that happens early on. So sometimes early you're not getting their best lineups, but we didn't have our best lineups either.
So this is unusual for the team to have a break of more than 1 week at this juncture of the season. Do you welcome that?
Yeah, we really needed it. You know, yeah, it was unheard of. Like, that was a real tough stretch that we went through. You know, we didn't have a lot of practice time, which is very important, you know, especially for the younger guys that haven't been around and some guys that don't get to play as much, you know, in the game. So you get out of sync a little bit. And even for that matter, when the guys that are playing a lot, you always need those practices. You kind of need a little blowout of a good skate and some good off-ice stuff. So that was a real tough schedule, but
As we record this podcast, you are in Alberta. Is there a particular reason, hockey-wise, for that?
Yeah, I'm just out scouting. I went, I want to get a handle on the league. It's a very important year for us. You know, we're making trades, so I need to have a handle on that and see some of our young prospects going to be in Red Deer. It's all the WHL Cup, so we have it's all the best Manitoba, BC, Saskatchewan, Alberta players that are all going to be there. So it's going to be a great tourney.
So fans will be talking, coaches will talk, media will talk. You've got one 20-year-old spot available. Is it safe to say, first off, before we get into it much, that you will fill that prior to the January 10th deadline?
Oh yeah, we'll fill it at some point, but we'll be patient and see what happens. And but you know that that 20-year-old spot is very important, and a 20-year-old player is very important. So at some point, we'd like to fill it for sure.
So I guess there's no rush because the team is having success and all of that. We know that you're not going to fill it with a goaltender. Would you look at bringing somebody to possibly play with Height and Zimmer? I know DeZane's doing well there, but I'm just using that as an example. Or would your preference be to be on the back end? I know your preference would be Ethan Sampson, but I don't think that's realistic.
Well, we don't know what preference we have. It's the type of player. We could, if it's a good player on defense or a good player on forward, we'd welcome that. There's a lot of good 20-year-olds out there, but we think we could make room for any good player. Doesn't matter the position.
Right. But at some point, there's no question the PG Cougars will add that spot. I mean, that's a no-brainer, correct?
Well, you just never know. Like, it could be a 19-year-old too, right? Like, it doesn't matter. It's got to be the right fit. I think we're in a place right now where we can be very careful and be very patient and get the right fit for our hockey club.
Now, I know as a coach, you're always looking, going to say as great things about the other teams, and I understand that from that position. But looking at it from the outside, it's not a very strong BC division. There's a very good chance you could go wire to wire. How do you look at that? You know that it's very strong in the U.S. division. You know you have a strong conference. But your division is, for the sake of, it's in transition other than Prince George. How do you look at that?
I look at it the same way as I always do. You look around. You never know, how much teams can improve. You never know what their plan is. As we all know, a couple trades and you add a couple real good players into your lineup can change everything. So that's how I look at it.
The shorthanded goals this year, we briefly talked about the penalty kill. You only had 8 in 68 games last season. You've got 7 so far this season. I mean, even for you, that's got to be an eye-opener.
Yeah, I think it is for everybody. But, the guys that we got killing penalties are offensive players that, they can really get around the ice and any type of turnover. And if it happens, these guys can make you pay. But scoring at the, shorthanded goals at the pace that we're scoring right now, we want to kill the penalty and not so much score, but we'll take it, that's for sure.
Because of that offensive talent that you have this year, and maybe 2-3 years ago you did not, are you encouraging offense and trying to score goals while being shorthanded because of the skill you have? Or is it just, that's a bonus, kill the penalty?
That's a bonus and kill the penalty. I think we've gotten in trouble a few times by, getting too offensive on the penalty kill and not, just killing it first. That's something Jimmy's really talked about too, is, that is a bonus, and we can, if you're chasing a game and you're behind and you're having to kill a penalty, that's a different story, and we can really, push that and try to score a goal. But the main focus is to play, play 3 periods, play 60 minutes and play a real strong game, and
talked about the Jim Playfair effect and what he's had for the penalty kill. But overall, now that you've had him for 10 games, he's a full-time associate coach, everything like that. Tell us about the other impact that he has had that as a part-time coach last season, he wasn't able to, you know, have that much input. Talk about the difference he's able to give this team now as specifically as you can.
Well, all his experiences, you know, that goes without saying, but the everyday presence of having him around, and, you know, the way he sees the game and the communication that he has with everybody. And, you know, it's really helped out myself. It's really helped out Carter. You know, some different ways that we see the game, the different ways that he sees the game, even though we're all on the same page, there's just little things that he brings that, you know, that maybe other people don't.
With your vast experience, his vast experience, you guys are going to agree on a lot of things. However, you wouldn't be coaches, you wouldn't have that kind of experience if you didn't have some disagreements. Can you enlighten us as to any possible disagreements or different philosophies that you guys have discussed, and you're trying to see his point and he's trying to see your point?
No, that hasn't. We're pretty much on the same page, and the discussion points we have, we implemented into our game. You know, so it's nothing like that. And, you know, things, you know, and the thing for Jimmy too, it's he's been a pro, you know, for his whole career, pretty much. He's never coached junior. A lot has changed, you know, even in my time in junior, the kids have changed and everything. So, you know, that's something to me he's been really patient. He's getting used to, and I think he's really enjoying it, but it's a total different game.
When you played Swift Current, I know it was just another game, but did you sort of have a chance to reminisce, sort of think back to when you were there with the Broncos? I know it's a few years back now.
It was like that when I went there last year. You know, when I went back, it was a little bit different, you know, playing in that building and everything. But, you know, it was just kind of like the jersey and another game when they were in Prince George, even though, you know, I coached the team years ago when they were in Junior A, I played there. But it was just another game. And, you know, most of the all the players and the management and everybody, the assistant coach who just started, you know, this year, Reagan Darby, he worked for me back in Swift Current and did some off-ice stuff for me. But other than that, I really don't know anybody in that organization very well.
Of the seven home games, that was my favorite. I love the 2-1. I love the 3-2 games. I love the great goaltending. For you, is every game just about the W and the L, or do you look back and say, you know what, I can appreciate that 2-1 game against Swift Current as opposed to a high-scoring 6-5 game or something like that, or do you not have that mindset?
No, my mindset is, and our mindset is, that you have to try to find a way to win any type of game. And, you know, that's what we did that night. And, you know, a lot had to do with Young. He was excellent. And, you know, when I break down all those games, the games that, you know, that we've lost this year, you know, we've outchanced the other team. We played fairly well and had a really good chance to win. Swift Current was a team that really, you know, they outchanced us, they outplayed us, and Young was there for us. You know, that's just part of being the team, and we have to learn to win those type of games, like the physical games, the high scoring games, the defensive games. So if you want to be a good team, you have to learn to win different ways.
That's the best I've seen Ty Young play in that Swift Current game. He was clearly the number one star. However, you know, his other six games, maybe not to the level that he's capable of. And overall, through seven games, 2.76 goals against average, .888 save percentage. How would you assess Ty Young's performance as your starting goaltender?
Well, that's how I would assess it too, and that's how Ty would assess it. And we're certainly not worried about Ty at all. This guy's one of the best competitors. He's a workhorse. He's he's everything that you want in a goalie. And you know, every player, it doesn't matter if it's a goalie, every one of our players is going to go through a stretch that you know, they're going to have some problems. And, you know, Younger, he hasn't been playing bad, but you know, it's not up to his par and his potential, and he'd be the first to admit that. But we have total confidence in him, and he's going to get better as we keep going.
Right. So overall, as we take a look at the first 10 games, now I've seen 7 because they've been at home. I would assess this team's performance as overall, taking everything into consideration, opposition, everything like that, my grade would be a B+. Would your grade be higher, lower, that, and why?
No, I guess that's a good question. I never really look at it like that. I think there's a lot of growth in this team to be had. So it could be right around there. You know, if you're playing an A game all the time, you're really, really good. And I don't see a lot of teams in any sport that bring their A game every night. And so I would say you're right in the right area.
It does seem, this is just a general look at the teams, that there's no Seattle from last season. Like, that was a rarity. And it does, now, as you say, rosters can change. I know Portland's looking pretty good at the, you know, in the U.S. division, but it doesn't appear the league as a whole has that dynamic Seattle Thunderbirds team that was almost once in a generation that we saw a year ago. Would you agree with that assessment?
Oh, yeah. There's no, like, on paper, there's no team like that. But when you look at their team, look at how they added during the year, too. Like, those players that they got, the trades that they made, they were good already, and then they just kept adding. And, yeah, it was certainly a big-time powerhouse. But they're, you know, and we haven't seen Portland yet, but, you know, Portland didn't make any moves. They knew what they were doing. They got one of their big players injured at the deadline that really hurt them, but they just kept everybody together, and it looks like it's working. They look like they're a powerhouse.
We're speaking with Mark Lamb, the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. We touched a little bit about January 10th deadline, and I know it seems like it's a long way off, and in a way it is, but there's going to be temptation, with this being a really good PG Cougar team, to try and win it all, try and win the West, go further than this team ever has, and then there's going to be talk about, well, let's upgrade the roster, even as good as the roster is. And then it comes, but at what cost? Now, you were not with the Cougars in 16-17. They decided to trade some first-round picks, bring 3 players in. For whatever reason, they did finish first, but they didn't have playoff success. Is this something that, you know, how valuable do you consider those first-round picks? How much does chemistry come into it? And when you have a good team like this, do you just say, maybe we'll add 1 or 2, but not at the expense of a first-round pick? How would that mindset be regarding that?
Well, that is my mindset for sure. And the team will tell you, you know, how good you are. Like, if we're real good, and I've said this before, first-round picks are gold. That's how you build your franchise. You got to nail your first round pick. So they're very, very important. And, you know, I think we built this, franchise back up. We've kept a lot of picks. We built through the draft. And, you know, that's still the plan. That'll never change. But, you know, there is a time when if you think you're really good and you can go for it, that you got to make some moves. But the team and the players will tell our organization what direction we're going to go on that aspect, even though we are a good team right now.
It must be enjoyable for you, 6 years in, to be having these kind of conversations rather than the conversations we would have 3-4 years ago. Well, you know, we're in transition. We're young. We're going to get better. You know, we hope to make the playoffs. We think we can make the playoffs. Talk about how it's different now and why compared to back then.
Well, it's different now because we had to build it, and we had to let the young players, and we built right through the draft. Now we got that foundation. We still have a ton of draft picks, so I think the hockey side of the business is very, very healthy, and we want to keep it like that. We don't want to take a step backwards. I always think you can take a step forward, even though you do make some trades. And we got draft picks and stuff, and first rounders. Do we trade for a first rounder? Do we not trade a first rounder? And that'll be something that I talk to the ownership about or see where it goes. But like I said before, the team will tell us exactly how good we are and what we need.
Is it more of a challenge with this team to be their head coach or to be their GM?
I don't think either is a challenge. I think both right now is very gratifying, very happy with where we're at in the organization, and either side I'm really enjoying it.
You mentioned ownership. Tell us about discussions that you have with ownership. Now, the number one guy you talk to is Eric Brewer, but you do have discussions with other owners. Tell us about those conversations this year based on what's happened.
Well, we really haven't, really haven't had a lot of discussion. We just talk about, how we're playing and those general conversations. Nothing about, what's your plan in the future and stuff. They know we've talked so much over the years. They know the plan. They know where we're at. They got their hockey people. I'm talking about Eric and Hammer. But the other owners that I talk to, they kind of let me do the business.
Fans are watching number 32, Parizak. He's been spectacular. Even in games when he doesn't score, and as a 17-year-old, you put him on the power play, first unit, you put him killing penalties, and then his regular shift. Has he even exceeded what you expect because of what has happened? Or did you know from training camp on, boy, he's really at a different level than when he was the last cut last year?
Well, he's a very consistent, smart player, and we thought that he'd be, a top six this year. When you pencil guys in, and that's what we thought. But the expectations and how he's played and what he's done this year, point wise, it's unexpected. But his smarts and his play away from the puck is really good, and he had a really good summer. He's improved in a lot of areas. His skating and whatever he's done in the summer, and he's got that extra step now. But even the games that he played last year with very limited ice time, you can see that sense for the net.
You never like to pick out individuals because you have so many doing so well, but I'll pick out one that I've seen from the home games. I would suggest, and you can agree, disagree, or partially agree, your best two-way player has been Becker, and you want to talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with that. Like, he's had a great summer. His two-way play, we've seen lots of glimpses of that last year. Coming over to Prince George, these guys take a little bit of time, and right now he looks like one of the best two-way players in the league to me.
Why such an improvement from where he was this time last year? Now, he improved as the season went on last season, but I've seen him at a different level. What now, again, you're European, it takes some time. What's the biggest improvement? Like, how did things come together for him to get to this level?
Yeah, we seen it last year, and you can always tell, when a guy's improving because, everybody wants to play with him. He's a great guy to play with because he does a lot of the heavy lifting, away from the puck. He's got wicked speed, and he's very unselfish. But I think the biggest thing is, he had a great summer. that all the time, like how these kids' summer is so important, and you really don't know how they're going to summer. They can go both ways, and you know, he put on more weight, he put on more muscle. You know, he's right on the World Junior. You know, he went to that camp at the end of the summer, and so he'd be right on their radar. Also, so there's a lot of confidence going on in him right now.
Well, it's going to be some good news for you in a way, and bad news in another way. But you're going to lose some guys this year around Christmas time.
Yeah, you know, and that's always you know, that's a great great thing to happen. It's great for the organization, and you know, if that does happen, and I hope it does happen, you know, the other guy's got to step in and get more ice time, and that's going to be great for our organization also.
And that's because, obviously, there's a lot of Cougars will be candidates to play at World Juniors and also other international tournaments. Your top physical player is actually a 16-year-old, Aiden Foster. Now, is that something you want more physicality from some of the older guys, or are you happy with what he's bringing and everybody else contributing?
No, it's a part. You know, it's a part of hockey that everyone has to contribute to, for sure. This, you know, Foster, he just came in and he's played the same way since he first stepped on the ice in training camp. And he's kind of a throwback, and he doesn't change. But what's, I think, is a little bit overlooked is how good a player he is. Like I'm playing him on right wing, like, you know, and it's on his offside. Like, who can do that as a 16-year-old? Well, he can. Like, he gets it out. He makes some good plays. His gamesmanship's there. Wait till he gets a little bit stronger and stuff. Like, sometimes I forget he's 16.
Is there a player on your team that is better than you originally thought, and why, and how did that sort of come about? Because you make assessments, you see them, you can see their ability, but then you and Jim talk to each other and Carter and say, wow, you know what? I knew this guy was going to be okay, but he's even better than that.
Well, I think you can say that on, you know, a lot of players and on how they've summered, and, you know, especially with this hot start. So I think that's unexpected. A lot of players are unexpected because we've had this crazy start and scoring all these goals. But let's not get too excited yet. I'm happy with where we're at, but let's see. You know, we got that big road trip coming. Those are so hard. But you get to really evaluate your team, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit after the home games with the Kamloops and Medicine Hat. Five games to the east. The Jaw, Regina, Brandon, Saskatoon, PA. What will that tell us about the Cougars? And is there a goal? Do you look and say, you know, we should bring home at least 6 points? We should have 7 points? Do you look at that? What is this going to tell us?
Well, it'll tell you a lot. And, you know, it'll bring your team together, too. But you're going to know. You're going to play some good teams. Like, you look at, you know, the team in Moosejaw, it looks like they're a team to be reckoned with. And going for it, they've traded a couple first-round picks already, so that tells you're right there. But these long road trips, you know, playing, you know, teams in their home barns are really hard. So evaluation is real. So, you know, you play those games, you get through that, and we'll have a good idea of exactly what we got.
It seems that some of the trades within the league are happening earlier than other years. For example, Victoria unloading two players and deciding, you know, we're going to build for the future. We're going to build through the draft. We're sort of going to go the Prince George way, you know, from a couple of years back or 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, realizing that, you know, the roster's not ready to, you know, do a lot of damage at this particular time. Are you surprised that we are seeing so early some teams deciding to be sellers and others, as you mentioned, like Moose Jaw being a buyer?
Well, it's your own personal way of managing. I'm just, you know, when you look at some of the prices that are going on right now, the prices are very high. You know, that's the thing. So where I'm sitting, I'm very, very happy with where we're at right now because I don't feel the necessity to go out and make a bunch of crazy trades.
With with 10 down and the rest to come, what are you looking forward to now in the next, you know, part of the season for the PG Cougars? What immediate goals or even long-term goals, when I say long-term, I'm talking about to the end of the season, do you have right now?
No, as you know, I don't get too far ahead of myself. I don't want to get in trouble like that and go, I think we're going to be this at the end of the day, January 10th. So I'm going to make those trades right now. There's so many things that can happen. Like, you know, hockey's a game of injuries. You know, there's so many things that can happen. And all of a sudden you make your trades really early, which I don't think we need to because we're a good hockey team. So, you know, you got to be careful on those types of things also.
Is there somebody in the Cougars system that we really haven't seen yet that you're saying, oh, I can hardly wait till he plays in our team? So I'll give you the example. When I talked to Bob Simmons on the CatScan podcast, he's been raving about Carroll, your first pick from, the 15-year-old. He said that if he was age eligible, Bob's belief, now you'd be the one making the decision, but he says Carroll is ready now to be in the WHL if he was old enough.
Well, he certainly showed that in training camp, and me seeing him, Jimmy seeing him, he does so many things that we try to teach, and he just does it naturally. Like, we played him on the right side in preseason; it didn't really matter at all at that age. He's one of the guys I'm going to go see this week. I can't wait to see him. People are starting to rave about him. People are starting to talk about him. But that being said, that whole draft class was excellent. Everybody in that training camp, like, he was real good, but so were other guys. So that 08 draft class was very, very impressive in training camp, and hopefully they can keep improving and developing.
Well, it had to be if you got him, middle to later middle of the first round. And that's what Bob was saying, is that, there were so many good players that the Cougars knew even at 15 they were going to get somebody that was going to make an impact.
Yeah, that. And I'd never seen him play before that. And when you see a kid like that in training camp, your scouts are doing the work.
And that's something you have to be very pleased with. And that's something that Bob said on the podcast, is that you let the scouts make the decision. Yeah, if you get a chance to see some guys, you'll maybe make some input. But it seems that even though, you're the head coach and the general manager, you realize and understand that spreading everything around, like Jim Playfair will have a lot of a say, Carter, the coaches, the scouts, they're there to make the picks. You're there just to oversee it. Is that the way you look at it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to, that'd be the, if I haven't seen a kid and you don't see these kids and you don't have the comparables, and I'm not going to go in there and say, you better pick this guy. I seen him play once. And even the whole scout group, Bob's the leader of the scout group, but they have some good conversation. Everybody has a voice. In the whole organization, like, even how we run our coaching staff, like, it's not just me, and it never has been. GM, and it's not just me, and it never has been. And scouting's the same way. It's got to be a team. And when I look back and see how everything's running, it's running in the right direction. And, now we just want to keep it going and put more pressure on ourselves to get better.
Do you look at yourself as the class of the BC division, like the other, the guys that are on the outside would look at you, or you just don't get involved with that?
I don't get involved with that. I hear that all the time and stuff like that. But if you start reading your own headlines and stuff like that, it'll get in the way. You got to stay focused, and you got to stay, stay really focused. And, the plan is to win. And we don't want to get off course.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about in this podcast that you would like to bring up from a hockey standpoint that maybe we missed, or maybe you think should be mentioned or talked about a little bit more?
No, I think we pretty much touched on everything.
And your final word to the fans of Prince George, and you know that the crowds are going to start to build. It's a slow build. It's not going to come overnight, but people are taking notice of this team. Walk-ups are getting larger and larger. So your final word that you would like to say to the Prince George Cougar fan?
Well, I've said this before, too, is, you know, this is a real exciting hockey team to watch. Like, we got a little bit of everything. You can score goals. I think we're gritty. You know, we got good pieces. When I talk to our scouts, they all watch. You know, they have the comparables of other teams and stuff like that. And when they talk about our team, that's what they say. They're going, it's just so exciting to watch this team play. And that's what I can say to the fans.
It's so early, but is that Portland team as dangerous in the U.S. division as they would look? I know we touched a little bit about Portland in the past, or is there somebody else in the U.S. division that you also think will be right up there with them?
Well, Portland, they've always been, they're always right around there. They do a real good job there as all those other teams. And like I said before, there's some teams that are close and a couple really good trades and a couple really good players add them in there. And then all of a sudden they're a real good team to be reckoned with also.
I appreciate your time. We'll do this again next month. And of course, we'll talk to you on the broadcasts many times. Appreciate it and take care and all the best to you, Mark.
All right. Thanks.
Mark Lamb is the head coach and the general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You've been listening to CatScan, a podcast about the Cougars. Have a great one.